Hey kids, you trying to get into Segment City? Well, you really shouldn't, because Segment City is a mature podcast, and listener discretion is advised. I'm just trying to look at, I know I'm in an alleyway, I know how I look, but I got some fireworks for you kids.
I got snakes and I got sparklers, that's all I got. Oh, don't give me that.
By myself.
You're here by yourself? Nope. I'm here by myself. We're doing a video call. This is the first time we've ever done
this.
Makes
me uncomfortable that you're on my screen.
It feels weird.
Weird, man.
Your camera's blurry. My camera's way too... It makes me look like a ghost because I'm way too bloom. I don't know what to do about it.
It's also like positioned kind of above your head, so I'm kind of looking down at you.
Yeah, let's just do
this. Yeah, you got your hot girl cam.
I just adjusted it.
Like you're going to post some
pictures
on there. Wow.
some feet pics? Oh,
what?
Some saucy.
I didn't say it.
Did you say feet pics?
Yes, I did. I said it.
Ooh.
I said
it. Saucy boy. We're saucy here on Segmented City, a podcast in which Theo and I come up with segments each week. Some are new, some are reoccurring, and we try to make each other laugh. We try to make you laugh. We have a good time.
Yeah, we do.
And this week is in bad times. We took a little bit of a break because Theo's mic was at my place, and we didn't know how to get it to him.
I was sort of like...
And also, we felt weird.
I was sort of like, well, maybe this will be Owner vs. Soonish. We can just take a short break. Turns out, not a short time. It's just going to...
No, and then I was like...
You know, we should just figure this out remotely, because we don't know when we're going to be coming back.
Yeah, I got to put out that good content for everybody, and when everybody's at home. Do people consume more podcasts when they're in quarantine or fewer?
I consume less, because I listen to them on my commute, and I have not been commuting. So I've been consuming less podcasts, more television.
Yes. Well, we'll be getting to that. Podcasts, there are certain ones that I haven't been. I've been getting into running a lot because I don't have exercise machines, but I'm still exercising a lot. But then I'll also do a thing where I follow it up by eating a pizza. Mm. So I'm not really killing it.
It's called reverse carbo loading. It's where you actually eat the carbs, carbs after your run and you gain less power.
Yes. So I'm listening to podcasts about like the history of werewolves and Satanism in the government, which I thought was going to be a fun little jaunt. And then, spoilers, pedophilia. There's a lot of pedophilia.
God.
And so that made me run from reality. So it kind of helps with the run.
I did not like that spoiler.
That was a bad spoiler. It actually made me feel bad for a very long time afterwards.
Lord.
So that's... but running makes me feel good, and so I've been getting into that.
Running makes me
feel good. But that's the opposite of what I think our first segments are going to be. So what are we doing in quarantine? What media are we consuming? Everybody's binging everything.
A lot of people are binging a lot.
Theo, what are you binging?
A lot of binging. What have I been...
Let's categorize these, because I put these into categories just so we aren't like going everywhere
with it. All right, hit me with your first question.
Have you watched any movies lately?
I have watched one movie relatively recently. It was Starship Troopers.
Oh, actually, let's talk about this because we chatted briefly in text.
Yes, I texted you that I had watched it in my short review. I thought it was a pretty good one. Like, let's see.
I was kind of looking forward to doing a Movie Boys with you about the movie because I think I would have at first just been like, when we did the before thing, been like, it's about fascism. You'll get a lot more out of this if you go into it with that mindset.
I picked up pretty quickly that it was like, you know, the cult of like the military. Like they make that pretty clear from the beginning where like going to the army is a big deal and everybody's going to do it. All the cool kids are going to the army. And it's
you become a citizen.
Right, exactly. And like so one person's like, I want to have kids. And I heard that if you go and do time in the military, it's a lot easier to get a permit to have kids. And I'm like, "Uh-huh. Yep, totalitarian government. Uh-huh. Yep, I get it."
I
liked that it was like a fun little you know, it was kind of a mindless plot. It was like, okay, there are bad aliens, go kill the bad aliens. And it was more about like the character development and like
it's more about, it's kind of, because if you think about it, it's especially with stuff that happens later in the plot. We're just getting into spoilers about Starship Troopers because it came out in, what, the 90s? I don't care.
But if you had said, I don't care about spoilers, it came out in the 90s. If you said that to me like a week and a half ago, I would have been like, no, wait. I don't want you to spoil.
I need to... spoilers, so if you don't want spoilers, then maybe jump ahead a little bit. But I think it's pretty clear that it's... We are the aggressors, mm-hmm. like humans are the right. aggressors. And it's very like 1984 of we've always been at wars with the bugs yep. in terms of like, and there's, they find like an encampment of settlers who are like Mormon for some reason. And they, and it's like, oh, we've been going onto their land and stealing their stuff. And they're just being territorial animals that yep. we're just fighting. And it's all just to create the war machine that fascism lives off of.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear, also, especially like at the end when they capture the brain bug and they're like just blatantly doing experiments on it, and it's like it's not trying to do anything. They're like, it's afraid, and they're like,
and it also like looks chubby and kind of cute.
It looks totally harmless. It just has a bunch of eyes.
But then again, it does suck the brains out of a man. He's a smart bug. But it's like, I like that every adult in the movie is horribly disfigured. That's like a fun little, like there's parts of the movie that I think people like on rewatch of like all the adults are either missing arms or legs or look like they have chemical burns. Yep. And then there's like this cycle of like everybody's up to replace each other. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's a machine, and it's a weird, because I described this movie to Annie as it's tricks you into liking fascists with its like 90210 kind of stuff, because all the characters you kind of feel for in the beginning especially, and then by the end you expect them to have like an arc of like, oh, they're gonna get over, like they're going to figure out how to stop this war machine or whatever, and then they just become a cog in it. Like, it doesn't have a happy ending in a traditional sense, but like you as the audience, when they're like, it's afraid, and you're like, yeah, and you're just kind of like, yeah, wait, why does this not feel good? So, because they're humans, that you're just like, yeah. Yeah, so,
I mean, they're relatable because they're human, and the other ones are bugs, and we got to squash the bugs. They look scary. Yeah.
But it's really just like, it kind of reminds me of Warhammer 40K, which is a thing I sometimes read about. And I'm like, this, it's basically everybody is to the max. Like, you know how in Star Wars and stuff, they're like,
tropey. Like, everyone just plays a role.
But in like Warhammer 40K, every faction is just terrible, and the humanity faction is like fascist, like terrible. But it's like they're the only humanity left. Like they're just people in it, but they'll like also nuke worlds just for nothing,
right?
And stuff. It's like terrible hell world that they try to put this like veneer in Starship Troopers of 90210 cheesiness. Mm-hmm. That kind of gets you into it. But then, like, once you get past that surface, and, like, I feel like they just don't wink at you enough.
In Starship Troopers?
In the movie.
Oh, no, they definitely do. I mean, there have those cutaways to, like, the propaganda thing that's, like, the more, would you like to know more? Like, that's very much like, hey, audience, you're getting that this is, like, not good, right? Like, this was very clearly calling out, like, what is happening here is not okay.
I feel like for most audiences, though, for what we think of as average popcorn eating crunch, like, this is just a fun action movie. I think that's what they would say.
I mean, I think some people, I could see how people could miss the point, but anybody who's like aware of historical context could probably see it. When Neil Patrick Harris walks in wearing like a literal Nazi uniform, like, cool. Oh, yeah.
That's like very on the nose. But I feel like that's like one of the few things that's like very on the nose where you're just like, yes, this is absolutely
right.
He's wearing an SS uniform.
Right.
Most of the stuff I like, especially with the main characters, you kind of get into it focuses a lot on the love triangle.
Yeah.
And kind of like, cause there's like characters that go for each other and stuff. But I feel like I do like them. I like discussing the movie more than I like watching the movie. Cause it is very like, when you watch it, you're like, this is an action movie and they're going to get killed by bugs.
A lot of people die. Like, that's like a lot of the characters die.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I thought they were just going to kill Johnny Rico. Mm. But then they did the weird thing where they're just like, no, he's alive. And he's just in this weird, like, Luke in Empire Strikes Back tube, where he's just like, And they're like, technically you're dead. And I'm like, is he going to be like Spec Ops now? And then he wasn't. He was just like a normal trooper again. And I'm like, okay, that didn't go anywhere. Right. But any other movies that
you
watched?
That's the only one. I've been mostly watching TV, to be honest. What about you? What have you been watching?
Yeah. I watched Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol because that's a fourth in the movie. I watched the first three Mission Impossibles. Didn't get to the last three because I heard Fallout is like great.
I'm surprised that you care about Mission Impossible. I couldn't give two shits about Mission Impossible.
I don't really. I played Animal Crossing the entire time. You were like,
I want some background noise.
I was like half in it, half out of it. Like they do. It's mostly seeing Tom Cruise do fun stunts. Mm. Like, that's the whole movie. And then, like, Simon Pegg doing some quips, but, like, they don't give him enough leeway to be Simon Pegg.
I just can't take action movies that take themselves so seriously anymore. Like, anything that's not winking at the audience about how ludicrous this whole, like, situation is just, I just can't get over it.
The technology is also very stupid because there's a point where they have, like, a magnet on a rolly thing that looks like the Mars rover, and Jeremy Renner has to, like, jump down a whole, like, few stories, and they're like, yeah, I'll catch you because you're going to be wearing this metal jacket. Sure. And I'm like, excuse me, no. excuse me. I don't think that's how anything works. And they're always just jumping into stuff and don't, like, their plans always fall apart. I like the first Mission Impossible a lot. I think it's a neat... Did you know it was based on a TV show?
No, I had no idea.
I didn't know that for a very long time.
I'm just learning that now.
Like, it's like Mission Impossible. It was like if James Bond was a show. Of just like every week they did a mission. And I'm like oh, that's like kind
of
neat
like
for
a show.
Like
a monster of the week. Mission of the week.
Yeah, but it's a heist of the week.
There is a show that keeps being advertised to me on, I think it's Netflix, called Money Heist. And I'm sorry, Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
But if you call your show Money Heist, I can't fucking watch it because you put so little effort into the title of the show. I'm really sorry.
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Hey, Netflix... We'll get to the shows.
I've got a heist to put on the table. We need a couple of guys. Well, what are we going to steal? Diamonds?
Money.
Okay, well, should we give us a cool operation nickname? No.
No,
it's just going to be the money heist.
We're the money boys. Money boys. We just want the money. Give us the money now. God. I've seen stuff. I'm like, this looks silly.
I shan't.
I can't deal with it. And then Annie and I, because she's in a different place from me.
She's in a different time zone.
And we aren't able to see each other. She's in a... She's not in a different
time zone.
She's just separate from me. So we've been having to watch shows on Netflix by basically doing
three, two, one,
go. Yeah. Oh, did you start? Did it... Bum, bum. Did you get the Netflix? Oh, no, you didn't. Okay, let me go back. Let's do that again. Three, two,
Laura
one.
And I have been doing the same.
Okay,
yeah.
We're good. And we watched The Mask of Zorro, which came out in 1998 or something like that. And it has Antonio Banderas.
First question, does it hold up?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's very fun. It's a fun little like action movie because it's about this new Zorro because old Zorro is played by Anthony Hopkins, who is not even trying to do a Mexican accent, which I'm happy with. He's just the most British man in rural Mexico. In like the 1800s
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, I was born here in this town of Guadalupe.
You will not become Zorro this way. You shall train to become Zorro. And it's him. He has an action sequence as Zorro, which they kind of like. They're like, okay, we're going to put him on wires and he's going to flip around and do stuff. But it's still just Anthony Hopkins and they just darkened his hair and his mustache a little bit. And then... his baby daughter gets kidnapped by an evil guy and he gets sent to jail. And then Antonio Banderas is a criminal guy. And then he finds him after original Zorro breaks out. And then they're going after evil guy who stole daughter, who is now hot and played by, Catherine Zeta-Jones, which I didn't know. She's Welsh, which... I wouldn't, because she plays like I feel like in a lot of roles, she plays Hispanic.
Yeah, like you wouldn't look at her and be like, oh, she's Welsh.
Yeah, I'm like, she doesn't even have any, because have you heard a Welsh accent?
Yeah.
It's a little bit crazy. it's a little bit of a crazy accent. Sorry if it's anyone from Wales.
Well,
like,
I'm going to break it to you. We don't have any listeners in Wales.
Oh, shit, dude. We don't have
any
listeners at all.
Wales is really low.
is very bad, but it's like a, it's a good movie. And then like there's one point that we, Annie and I just like latched onto as just like the weirdest moment in the whole movie, where there's an American guy who's like a general kind of dude, and he's working for the evil guy, and he earlier in the movie caught his Antonio Banderas, his brother, and he offered him like some wine because he was in disguise, and he's like, here, here's some wine. And then he's like, he sips it, and it, in the jar of the wine is his brother's head. And we're just like, did he just feed him brother juice? Did he just give him some brother juice? I'm and then Antonio Banderas like takes like, it.
I'm making a shrunken head. Don't look. This is
gonna be a science project. Pickling your brother's head, and he's like, is this your brother?
It's got a nice mahogany flavor. Full body.
It's got some. Oh, is this some brother tones? Is this some warm brother notes. Tones? Some, boom, you got him. You did the thing.
That's it.
And that was the only movies I watched, but that's not the important. I feel like we both have been doing shows and games, so let's go into shows.
Shows.
What shows?
I've been watching a lot of Community that you recently put it on Netflix. It's a funny. It's a really good show. I mean, I don't have a lot to say for it. It's definitely comfort food.
Like, yeah, it's what I want right now,
where I can just turn it on and have a couple of good laughs, and it fits into 20 minutes, and it like nicely resolves itself. It's just comfort food.
Yeah. It's in that like late 2000s, early 2010 period where everyone had a sitcom, like when The Office, like they're all very similar in my mind. There's Community, there is The Office, there's Parks and Rec.
I would say Community and Parks and Rec are more similar. I think The Office stands alone in terms of like its genre of humor. I mean, a lot of things copied it, but nothing quite gets its like dry tone quite as well. At least the early Office. I mean, Community is like, I think in the, a cut above a lot of like the shows where like everybody gets a comedy, in that like people really latched onto it, and it has really good, well-written humor. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton to say for it. We don't have to dwell on talking about Community because it's just like, there's not much to talk about there, I don't think.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I probably need to keep up with Parks and Rec, but that was Annie and my like comfort food on Wednesday nights or whatever.
Yeah, I would say at the first couple of seasons, there is some humor that I'm like, ooh, this doesn't age well. Like they just like say like, you're gay, and that's the whole joke. Like that's the entire joke, and I'm like, I guess we're just past that as like a culture. Great, I'm glad we're past that, because it's like, I don't find like that's not funny. Like I'm like, you need more to the joke.
That was this 2000s humor when people called each other retarded and stuff, and you're just like,
this is no longer good.
No longer good. My comfort food is Star Trek The Next Generation.
TNG, okay.
One of the greatest shows that's ever been made, and I love it. And almost every episode, I say out loud, oh my God, I love this show.
It's so good.
Because I'm a nerd, and also because it has like all the characters get their thing. Like they all have their, like every character will get an episode eventually. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, this is a Data episode. This is so good. And you get a little character. And then there's also like, they just have fun problems. Like every episode is its own like issue that will eventually get resolved usually. And then there's like bigger, broader things, and there's character development for the guys. And like, it's just such a nice world because it's everybody works together and everybody is just so nice to each other and everybody's good at their job. And like, we'll just,
it's so,
and
it's far just from like the real so world good. Where everyone is mean and everyone is incompetent.
And then like Picard's just like, we have no use for wealth and in our we got rid of wealth and need, and we have a utopia society, and we're not on a warship, we're on a exploration ship, and we just want to meet new species and do, and I'm like, yes, Picard, I want this. This is the future I want, but this is not the future we're getting. This is Picard. We're so far. And I'm just like, yes, this is in 400 years we'll be across the stars and we'll have the Federation, and I'm just like, oh, Picard. If only we could, my boy. And then it's just so, like, every episode I'll get something, because I recently watched one that was like, I like the episodes where it's less advanced civilizations looking at the Federation, kind of, because there's one where they were about, like, the civilization was about to get warp capabilities, and that's when they do first contact. And so they're just like, hey, and they were, like, very human, and Riker, for some reason, got injured and was in a medical facility, and Picard was just like, hey, so we need our dude. Also, sorry that we're spying on you guys, but also, like, we have to figure out that if you guys are chill or not. And then they're just like, yeah, but you can see it from our perspective. And then I thought it from both the perspectives, like, if aliens came to us now and were like, hey, so you want to be part of our Federation of Planets? Also, we were spying on you for a bit. I'd be like, eh.
I feel bad.
And then but then they try to kill Riker, and Riker's like, I need to escape. And this one lab technician lady's like, I can help you escape if we bang, because that's my kink. And I'm just like, oh,
God, okay. All right.
Riker's just like, okay,
because that's how he gets it.
Because that's Riker's thing. He's basically like a D&D bard. He just fucks everyone. It's great. I love that show. Anyway. What other shows you've been watching?
I've been watching some of the newest season of Terrace House. Are you aware of Terrace House?
Oh, I know of Terrace House. I want to watch it, but I feel like I need to watch it with my girlfriend. I forget if she's already seen it.
The newest season is produced by Netflix, and it was started in 2019 and slated to go through the end of the summer through the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, which are no longer happening. Like, it was slated to be in Tokyo during the time of the Olympics and just, like, be happening. I don't know what's happening with it now. They probably have sent everybody home, I would imagine. I don't know. But,
yeah.
I mean, for people who are unaware, it's a Japanese reality TV show about six like, young people between the ages of, like, 20 and 30. And there are three guys and three girls. And basically the whole plot of the show is that they just live in a house together and are roommates. And there's, like, no ulterior motives and no producers, like, telling them to produce drama. It's, like, a lot of people try to get on the show because they want to, like, meet somebody. But while they're there, they still have to, like, go and work their jobs. Like, they still are employed. But, like, on the side, they'll, like, make little dates. And cameras will, like, follow them around going and doing, like, their cute little dates in Japan. And part of the premise and the appeal of the show is that Japanese culture is much more respectful and reserved. And so, like, these young people are not constantly hooking up. They are just very polite and conscientious of one another. And it's a totally different look into, like, human interaction.
The next generation for you is you being like, I've heard that it's like Big Brother, but instead of like, do you fuck Stacy? It's just like, hello. So I think we're both going after Stacy's heart, and I'd really love to talk about this and really work this out. And they go, oh, yes, of course. I'd love to. And I'm just like,
there's some drama, but it's mostly like these two people are slated to have a very calm, rational argument with, or no, discussion with one another. And you can see it coming and be like, ooh, this discussion is going to be so rational and juicy.
This is going to be a very good discussion. They're both going to grow as people
from this interaction.
This is going to be a very good discussion, and I look forward to it.
And there's a funny thing where, like, there's this sort of, like, this panel of people who they'll cut away to every once in a while who are watching the episode, and they'll be, like, commentators.
That's a very Japanese
And they'll
thing.
Be, like, they'll just speculate so wildly. They're like, this guy has a very cool attitude, and it seems like his stock is definitely on the rise. It was going down before, but now it seems like a lot of the girls are very interested in him. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens next.
He's a cool dude with attitude. He's got he quite could be a good nice Power style. Ranger.
And then there's this one guy.
He has a good style. There's a guy
on the panel who always roots against the like the cool musicians because he's like, they always get the girls. And he's like, I can't wait to see him tumble and burn.
I root for the underdogs all the time.
And they always just make fun of him because they're like, what do you have against these guys? And he's like, I was never cool.
They gave me
and
witches.
You will never be cool and get girls.
I like this weird antagonist who's just a judge, who's just like from far away, like, I hate you.
And then mixed in are like the very, like, you know, Japanese language noises that they make, like, wah! Yeah, like, and it just Johnny? Hits all the right spots for me right now.
I think I will probably watch it because my mother watches Real Housewives of
this is
wherever,
as far from that as you can
bullshit
get.
County.
You would think that we are like an alien species to them if you watch side by side.
Oh yeah, it just feels so overproduced, and I would really like a show where it's just like not all that.
Right.
I don't know. On the total opposite end of that spectrum, I watched the first two episodes of The Boys.
The Boys, the Amazon original show,
which people told me to watch, and it just feels mean-spirited. Mm. It's a very, like, I have to, like, put myself in the mood to watch it. It's a very, like, because in the first episode, two terrible things happen. Like, I don't know. One of the things is, like, got spoiled for me, and I'm not sure if I want to spoil it for other people because it's, like,
I mean,
kind of recent. I mean, in, like, the first 10 minutes, let's just say somebody gets returned, gets converted into just splatter.
Okay. So there's a pretty strong statement of, like, the intentions of the show.
It's, I like the idea behind the show where it's basically, like, superheroes are a brand.
Okay.
And are, it's like they're, like, the ultimate celebrities.
Right.
And they can get away with anything. And then it's, like, the boys who are, like, regular dudes, or, like, some of them are criminals, are trying to get back at them.
Okay.
And it just, it really, like, enjoys being so mean and, like, gross out. That to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I kind of like it, but it's also like, it's weird.
Does it just feel like kind it's of gratuitous, show. Both in like tone and it, in like gore?
It really like languishes yeah. in it. It's like, ooh, yeah, ooh, you're uncomfortable. Let me just rub this on myself. This is, feels great. What do you feel
How
about
do you
this?
Feel about this?
Feels great. How do you feel? Oh, are you grossed out? I like that you're right. grossed out.
But, feels bad.
And then I've been watching Westworld season 3, which has been good. I okay, like it.
Cool. I mean,
and that's my
how
review.
Did you feel about season 2? I don't remember where you landed on that.
I love season
yeah,
1.
No, season 1
I,
is incredible.
I watched it with... Yeah. Here's my advice to anyone who hasn't seen Westworld. Watch Westworld season 1. Season 2, right now, is not worth it on its own.
Okay.
Because it kind of... Season 1 ends at a perfect place.
Right.
And then and it's like, oh, you can just leave it and it's fine.
Right.
Season 2 kind of like, it's good... It's just not great. It's like a sophomore slump kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sophomore album. And then season 3 has been picking it up. And I'm like, I like the outside world and the world building that they're doing and kind of like the characters' motivations are all like very interesting and I enjoy watching it week to week.
Yeah.
It has a nice vibe.
Yeah, but I don't know. For me, I was... So season 1, agree, super good. And season 2, I think because season 1 was so good, season 2 like hurt. By like how it didn't really,
yeah,
it didn't it's, fulfill it's the promise, the, and
it's a sophomore album.
It just feels to me like you know the part of Westworld that I was most interested in were the stories happening within Westworld, and it seems like they're getting farther and farther away from that. It's like I don't think I care about what they're saying anymore. Maybe it's just a personal preference.
I think that Anthony Hopkins was also such a like fucking great yeah. actor and such a presence in right. the show that like in season 2 he is less in right. it, and like so he's just not. He doesn't carry as yeah. much of it. So, yeah. What else have you been watching?
The last thing I've been watching, which I mentioned, I think maybe briefly to you. So Warner Brothers recently just like handed us a pass to like all of their content produced ever, which is like a fucking ton of content. It's
oh,
incredible.
Yeah. They've been and doing so stuff
like,
forever.
I was scrolling around and they have like a whole animated section of like the stuff they produced. And I was like, oh, this is a funny good goof. It's Mike Tyson Mysteries. And I was like...
Oh, yeah, you sent me yeah, a Snapchat.
I was like, hey, as a good goof, like, let's watch this. I knew nothing about the show. I thought it was like a kid's show. I thought it was like akin to Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's supposed to look like it. Yeah, it's supposed to look
I
like
I watched
Scooby-Doo.
A couple of episodes. This show is incredibly good. Like, Mike Tyson Mysteries has no right being as good as it is. It's really well written. It's really hilarious, and Mike Tyson just making fun of himself in a cartoon form is adorable and hilarious. I
think it's one of those things that nobody has expectations
for.
Oh,
yeah, I had no expectations going in. I started, like, a random episode and saw the intro. I encourage everybody to go watch the intro, just, like, the intro montage that they do. It's like, you know, it's like Saturday mm-hmm. morning cartoon,
yeah, it's
like, opening.
Classic.
It's like so hilarious. It's just, like, Mike Tyson punching, like, a dinosaur and riding on the back of, like, a pterodactyl. And then, like, he has a friend who's a talking pigeon who's, like, really funny. And they've got... Their party is consisted of Mike Tyson, a talking pigeon, like, his adopted Asian daughter, and a ghost. And that's their, like, adventuring crew. And it's, like, every episode is just hilarious. There's an episode where he falls into a conspiracy because he keeps running over astronauts, like, hitting them with his car, like, over and over. And he convinces himself that he has a government-implanted chip in his brain, then the government is trying to make him kill astronauts. So he ends up going to the moon and getting in the like the lunar rover car and running over an astronaut on the moon. And then
he said like curses.
And then every time he runs someone over, he calls his insurance agent. His insurance agent is just like, has a gun. And his insurance agent always like, would you mind taking time to fill out a short customer satisfaction survey? And he's like, sure, I got time. And he's like standing on the moon. Oh my god, it's too good. There's just so many goofy plots. I recommend Mike Tyson Mysteries to everybody.
I'll check it out. Because I haven't heard a lot from it. I still need to watch Rick and Morty season 3. I haven't. Everybody said it's really good.
Season 4. This is the most recent.
Season 4. Yeah.
I'm so lost in it that I know I could easily get through it,
yeah. But speaking of things that are easy to get through / bingeable, I watched Tiger King.
Oh, yeah.
And it's everything that everybody says. It's a flawed documentary. It's as because Annie watches, she's watched every single documentary on Netflix, is what she says. And she said, in terms of
so many, like, isn't fucking like,
she's watched a lot. She's been like, she's like, yeah, did you know, I watched one that was a PBS thing about the history of knitting. There's a lot of good history in knitting. And I'm just like, Annie,
I'm never you're telling going Laura too far. About this. Laura, don't listen.
And she, so she's like, in terms of from the scale of like Ken Burns, Vietnam to Fast Food Nation or like Super Size Me or whatever, it's a little more Super Size Me. It's like more entertainment than it is like actual documentary. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those shows where everybody is terrible, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of like looking at these characters and being like, it's terrible. And I think in the show, at the end, they kind of have a message of like, yeah, I mean, all these people are terrible and stuff, but also they're ruining these tigers' lives. Right. And we should also, like, if everybody in this thing that are supposed to be helping tigers actually just put their money towards tigers, then there would be more tigers in the wild. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody's ignoring that. Right now, like, everybody who watches it isn't like, oh, we should help these tigers. They're saying, like, fuck Carol Baskins, yep. Which I'm like, that's not the point. I mean, they did devote an entire episode to the fact, like, the question of, did this character Carol Baskins murder her husband? Mm-hmm. Which, to me, is, like, a very, like, 50-50. I don't think she necessarily did. Because they didn't give you all the facts. They just kind of like glance over shit.
Yeah, I read some stuff after the fact that it was like the credibility of this show is like very questionable because they were choosing with what the facts like, that they presented. Like they were presenting more for an interesting story than to paint the full picture.
They like way late in the show were like, did you know that Joe Exotic and all these people did drugs and meth? And I'm like, oh, really? Because one of his husbands has literally three teeth. I couldn't figure that out. Like, but they're like, oh yeah, we had to cut a lot of the drug use. And I'm like, people really like Joe Exotic.
No, he's
that's another takeaway. People hate Carol Baskins and people love Joe Exotic. And I'm like, the whole point is that Joe Exotic is a terrible person. Right. And he did a murder for hire thing. It doesn't matter what Carol Baskins did. You can't just
they're both bad people. And they're not just like it's funny to but because when you watch it, they're like, oh, these are funny characters. And you're like, no, these are very much real people. You know, actually how they live.
I've met people that are similar to some of them. I think some of the worst people, there's this other guy named like Doc something, and he's like a cult leader basically. Right. And he just has a harem of women. Like he just traps people in this. And I'm like, I hate him the most. And then like Joe is like terrible in his own way. But like the reason I feel like they devote an entire episode to Carol Baskin is that I'm like, okay, she's the ultimate cat lady. But she's right about everything, like because they're breeding tiger cubs to show to people and all that.
But the argument they're making is that she's no better than they are.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, you're liking her a little too much. We're going to devote an entire episode to tearing her down. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, fair. You'd kind of change the tone to make this serial in the middle of this tiger thing. So just kind of like, I don't know. It's a good entertaining thing, and I think people would enjoy it. But it is one of the, and like, especially for, I think it's mostly like, see how bad these tigers have it is more what I take away. But it's also like, these people are also entertaining and weirdos. So, but everybody's been talking about
that. I watched a couple of episodes of it and I was like, I get the point. And I stopped.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. We kept watching to see how crazy it goes. But Let's go on to games. What games have you been playing?
Games I've been playing.
I think you've probably played more games.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been playing a lot. At the beginning of...
You're more of a gamer boy.
I'm a gamer boy. I said, see you later, boy. So, at the beginning of quarantine, I finally went back and beat and platinumed God of War. I had been meaning to do that for a while. I had already beat God of War, but I re-beat it and because I wanted to get the platinum. And I kept telling myself, like, I'm not that far away. I'm just going to go do it. It was a matter of, like, going around and getting the collectibles. But it's one of my favorite games ever. And, like, replaying it was just really satisfying. And it was, like, That's just what I was looking for.
Still on my list.
Yeah. I mean, it's top three games ever for me. Like, it's really, really up there. Wow. Yeah. So you have time. Go play that game. And it's not that challenging of a platinum. It took me, like, a couple extra hours after having beaten it to go and get the platinum. But the first playthrough that I did, I went and, like, sort of did all of the combat trials that are associated to trophies. Mm. And there are, like, a bunch of those. So I didn't have to go do those the second time. What's one from your list? We can alternate here.
Okay. I have five in my list. Three of them I feel like I have, like, they're just short-ish kind of
things. Okay, so give me two of those.
I played Wizard of Legend with Annie a little bit, which is a co-op game, but it was only local co-op. But Steam has a feature where you can do, you can play a game that is only local co-op over the internet. Okay. It's like couch co-op kind of, it's like a interesting, and it actually worked pretty well for this game, but like it starts in your wizards in a museum and you get like elemental magic and the gameplay is like super fast and fluid and really cool. And I'm like, this is hype. Like this is a cool game, and then it goes into it and I'm just like, wait a second, is this a roguelike? God damn it. And I was just like, I got pissed off because I was like, it, they set it up so cool and like this, like building up this, like going through a museum of wizardry, and I'm like, that's neat. And then they're like, oh, you get teleported back and you got to do this tournament now. And I'm like, oh, I mean, the gameplay's still fun and it would probably be fun to, but like
roguelike,
it kind of ruined
it for me. Is
it roguelike or is
it like roguelite where you get like upgraded abilities and stuff every death?
Roguelite, because you get coins and stuff and you get like more magical abilities, which like it's fun, like you get like waterbendery kind of skills and you just get better magic and skills, and so it's fun, but it doesn't, I thought it was gonna hook me with a cool story and then it just didn't, and it so it fell flat. And then there's Katana Zero, which is also a pixel art game, but it's like a short kind of like one hit kind of kill game with like a slow-mo mechanic, and it's like a 2D platformer. It feels kind of like Hotline Miami. I don't know if you ever played Hotline Miami. And but it's like it has a cool story of like you're an assassin named the Dragon, and you go on missions, and you're like you go to a therapist after everything, and he injects you with a thing, and he also gives you a dossier, and that's the next person you're gonna kill. So it's like, oh, that's a neat kind of thing of like your therapist is also your handler. And so, and there's like in between things like Hotline Miami, where like the story comes in, and then the gameplay is just like fun and flashy. So it's a good game.
Let's see, what's another one from my list? I played a little bit of Baba Is You.
I heard that
one. It's good. I mean, I can only take it in really small doses because it requires your full like mental attention. Like it's the farthest thing from like Animal Crossing, where like. You like I was like, oh, I'll turn on a TV show and I'll play Baba Is You. And it's like, no, I have to turn off everything and I have to just think about these puzzles. So they're it's really, really mind bendy. I mean it's definitely like it's like a bite sized game where it works really well to sit down and do a couple puzzles and put it down and come back later. So pretty cool mechanically. And I mean, it deserves the awards and everything that it got. Everyone was like, I didn't, you know, I heard the reviews of people being like, I didn't know this was something that video games could even do, stuff like this. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like it's definitely clever and definitely well engineered, but I could see how you do it. It's like,
I feel like people who say that don't know anything about making games.
Yeah. I mean, this,
when they're like, I don't,
or you're just like, this is
know how you do it. It's like,
Another thing I've been doing is playing board games on Tabletop Simulator. Specifically, I play a lot of Gloomhaven at work, which is like D&D in a box. And they're kickstarting the sequel to it called Frosthaven. And one of the things they did was release the first like five scenarios of Frosthaven with new characters on Tabletop Simulator for people to just like try and play. So I played that with some of my friends, and it's really good. I mean, unsurprisingly, it's more Gloomhaven with new mechanics and like more content, and it's really, really fun. And I'm really impressed by how well Tabletop Simulator works. You know, it's like,
I haven't tried it yet.
Most definitely not my preferred medium to play board games, but it's a very good way to just like play board games with friends.
Especially in quarantine.
Especially in quarantine.
I mean, yeah. I've also been playing a lot of like RPGs with people. Mm-hmm. I'm playing like a pirate one. That's my brother pitched it as Wind Waker, but with witches on like islands, but then we haven't seen a lot of witches. Mm-hmm. And also kind of like Star Trek-y in terms of you have like a boarding party or like you would go to islands and do stuff. And my character is a goblin divination wizard named Madam Bones, who's just the seer of the, and she just is a witch because she's just a little green goblin lady. So that's been fun. And then I've been DMing a game called Things from the Flood, which is based off of Tales from the Loop, which is like a series of books from Simon Stålberg or something like that. He's Swedish, and they actually made a Amazon Prime show based on Tales from
That, actually I saw an ad for that.
So that's like the vibe of those pictures. If you haven't like seen the pictures, just look up like Simon Stålberg like 80s or like Tales from the Loop. Because that's the I have two rule books. One is like 80s and you play as kids and you're just in this area around a particle accelerator in Sweden. Or you can do the US version, which is like a particle accelerator in Nevada. And then there's Things from the Flood, which is in the 90s and you play as teenagers and it's more horror themes. And so I was like, hey, do you want to do this to my D&D party? And we played it a little bit and they've been really liking it, even though it's very like, it's a different vibe because it's half of it is like doing teenager stuff. And then you balance that out with just like gross horror of like machines and like because there's like a thing of like robots are starting to get like tumors and stuff like fleshy parts. And it's called like machine cancer. And it's just like weird stuff happens around. And so it's been a weird vibe and we haven't played it for a bit. And I don't know how my players feel about it because my girlfriend's like, I love this. This is so good. And then I'm like, I don't know, because it's hard to make it goofy because that's kind of my style when I DM is like, hey, let's make this goofy. And this is like, oh, you go into an underground cavern and you just hear like screaming. And it's like, oh, okay. That's really make this, like, not
goofy.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. For game back to like just games I've been playing, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator was in a Humble Bundle I bought, and it's just a fun, goofy, like, you set up an army of dudes, and then they just, like, auto-fight each other, and they're all wiggly men.
Right.
So it's, like, a fun thing to see a mammoth kill a bunch of hobbits. It's just, like, a fun little game. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 for the last 2 years or whatever at this point.
Go back to our very first episode, and you probably said that same sentence.
And I'm still probably playing, and I'm at the point where I've gotten farther and it's a fun game. I like it. And it actually is I was thinking about this because I don't know if you want to do a game between this, but it does relate to my next game, which is Animal Crossing.
Sure. I mean, go for it. I've been playing a lot with my last game, but yeah, go ahead.
Cause Red Dead and Animal Crossing, I feel like have a lot of similar mechanics. If you think about it especially with the camp mechanic for Red Dead, where you go around and talk to people, because I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing New Horizon. I play like an hour a day or whatever because it's Animal Crossing's interesting because it's like a mobile game kind of, in terms of you have to go to it every day and get resources and like talk to your neighbors and do all these things to get miles so that you can go to different islands, do other things. And it's just so customizable and just so relaxing, especially when I watch like Star Trek and stuff, I'll just play that. And then Red Dead feels like it has all those things, but also a lot more. And yet I don't feel as fulfilled by Red Dead in some situations.
Well, Red Dead feels more like you're checking boxes, and it feels like Animal Crossing is more like you're playing in the sand and like seeing what you can come up with. Like Red Dead, while it has a lot, only has like little, when I was playing it, I only had like little moments where I felt like I truly discovered something. Like, And those moments were great. Like, they were awesome. And I was like, holy shit, I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. But they were really few and far between.
I think I texted you, like, the missions in Red Dead 2 feel like almost every single main mission feels like it would be the best mission in any other kind of game. Because there's, like, a mission where you got to go on a heist and you end up, like, taking over a trolley and, like, going through town and shooting dudes. And it just feels like it's super cool. But it's, I feel like Red Dead, it's so weird that they put so much of an emphasis on immersion and all that stuff and, like, had so much feature creep to me of just things that don't, like, I think the quintessential thing is the ball shrinkage for the horses in cold weather. It's such a superfluous thing, and it's just a thing that you could put on, like, oh, we did this technology when it doesn't affect anything. So they put all that effort into that, and yet all the gameplay, like, running and sneaking and shooting feels very clunky sometimes.
There are legacy things with, so with like, Rockstar games where it's like tapping X to sprint is no longer a good function. Like, y'all need to get over it. I think we may have talked about this when I was going through and playing Red Dead. And it's just, I mean, there's a lot to love and a lot not to love in that game. And I don't think it's making anybody's like top 10 of this generation's list, which I think is what they were hoping for.
I don't know. I think people very much, and I think people really loved it. I think it just didn't, it pushed technologies in terms of visuals and like, but it didn't push open world gaming. It didn't do anything mechanically that I, other than that kind of like, oh, you can feed your horse and stroke your horse and ball shrinkage stuff, like graphics, things that are cool. But a lot of gameplay stuff didn't, like the fact that you have to cock your gun every time is just an annoyance to me, and I end up just mashing right trigger.
Oh yeah,
I mean, instead of, because you got like with the revolver, it's like poof, and then you got to cock it again by pressing the button again. I'm like, this just feels like you should have gotten rid of it in game testing. So I know the development of the game was kind of like rushed, but and then Animal Crossing is just like everybody's talking about it. Everybody has like has already maxed out their stuff and have like beautiful islands, and I'm like, okay, so you guys, y'all cheated. I know you pushed the clock. Like, what are you doing? Because there's no way that you can get all that money. Like, I'm still plugging away on Tom Nook trying to get my last thing in. But I have, like, a seance room in my house, and I love my little villagers, even though one of them is a hippo lady, and she calls me hipster. Is her a little catchphrase for me? So don't love that. Do love my little... I have two koalas, one named Sydney and one named Ozzy.
There you go.
And one of them calls me Old Bear, and the other calls me Sunshine.
There you go.
And I love them. They're my adorable... And Ozzy's a little weirdo boy, and he's just like... Like, I talked to him a little bit, and he's just like, hey, not to be rude, but can you... I just want to be alone right now. And I was just like, oh my God.
Relatable content.
I feel that. Relatable content. I'm like, Ozzy. And then he'll like run around with his arms like a plane. He's like, burr. And I'm like, I love you. You're my boy.
Oh God.
It's just like, it's just my boys. My boys and girls, that they're my little group, and I love them. But that's Animal Crossing.
So what's my last game is Astrobot. I finally went and finished the game, Astrobot Rescue Mission, and finished the game and got the platinum, which is a VR game.
Which is your favorite VR game.
Not only my favorite VR game, but like, I think it might be the best designed platformer ever. I think that...
Really? Platform?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, it takes away the fourth wall in such an incredible way that no other game does, VR or otherwise, that I'm just like, people that like platformers that haven't played this game are like, are missing out. And I hope that this game, when VR is widespread, which I think is to some degree an eventuality, I really hope that this game gets like ported everywhere and everyone can play it. Because the design on this game is so, so good. It's like you're living in a Pixar movie with this game. It's incredible. And like, the enemies are cute, and the bosses are challenging but not too challenging and have personality, and all of the levels feel really unique. The audio design is incredible. The way that the levels are designed around you and for you to like exist and move through and be a part of is really cool. It's all of the level design is really interesting, because all of the levels exist in a straight line, and as you walk your character forward, and you'll sort of walk him up and around, but eventually you're moving it forward. So you move from point A to point B, and you move along that line in every single level, and you never think about it because you are just surrounded by all of this action and stuff that you forget that you're just on this linear track that just goes from point A to point B, and that's the level. It's like, you know, you're standing at one end of a Mario level, and he's running along and hitting blocks and stuff, and eventually you get to the flag, but you're traveling that flag with him on that axis. It's really, really good, and I hope more people get a chance to play it because it's phenomenal.
I feel like VR is such a, it's still niche, and I feel like it's going to be niche for,
yeah, it's going to be niche for a while, for sure. There are things where people have to figure out how to use VR, and this is one of the games that has really figured it out, where it's like, the point of this is not like, you know, high action motion, and you're moving around a lot, and like, you know, you're trying to do all these epic things. It's more about like, you're existing in this super awesome world, and you can be part of the action without having to move around and feel nauseated a lot.
Because right now I feel like there's the games that I'm most excited about and were most interested in when I had VR, when we had an Oculus Rift for a little bit, was like, I would be really into Half-Life Alyx right now. And I really enjoyed, Robo Recall. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Beat Saber was also great. And then like, I would have been really interested in like Boneworks and stuff, but that's like shooters with kind of, weird traversal,
I think,
and kind of like being able to interact with stuff. And I feel like I'm not sure if that's like the, I think we're almost gonna hit, I feel like Half-Life Alyx is probably like what people are saying the limit is on that right now. And I'm more interested in what else you could do, because like we made a VR game, Lost in Spice, get it now, it's free, and it's like a cooking game, but I'm like, what can you do with VR?
So this is one of the interesting games that's really gonna, like, push it, the design choice to not have you be the main point of like the focal attention is really interesting, where like you're controlling this little,
you're an observer to the protagonist, as opposed to being the protagonist.
You both exist in the space and are controlling the main little robot that's running around. Like, you exist in the space because you can, like, you know, your character can like headbutt things to like smash them or like reach out and like grab things, but the main point is that you've got your controller and you're like running this little guy around and he's doing the majority of the stuff. And that's just like super cool. I think that's an awesome use of VR.
I think that AI could probably make it more, because right now I feel like there's a certain cognitive dissonance to, because like I've seen clips of people playing Half-Life Alyx and like there's when you're trapped in an elevator or something in Combine, have their guns trained on you and people are like flipping them off and just kind of like dancing and stuff and they don't react. And it kind of feels like, oh, okay, well, it would be interesting if they actually kind of reacted to what you did, as opposed to just kind of, I mean, that's like part of the fun and humor of it. But it's also, it's like, how can you make an interesting game that's completely based off your emotions?
Right. Yeah, that's still to come.
I mean, people are still discussing that. But we've spent, I think, 52 minutes.
I think that's going to be just our episode.
That's I did have other content.
This is our episode to figure out if this works. It seems like it does. Our virtual recording.
I mean, I enjoyed talking about our
weekly updates, because we've had many weeks without updating each other about what we've been watching and playing and doing. And so this has been our update episode.
This is our what
how
are we going to
how the boys
it?
Doing?
Just, how the how boys doing? Doing? Or it could just be quarantine binge catch up. Right. I don't know. But thank you everybody for hanging in with us as we talked about all the shows and movies and games that we've been watching. I hope you've been enjoying your time in quarantine. A lot of people seem to not be enjoying it. But hopefully this will be over soon. But if it's not, just remember to always wash your hands, keep inside, quarantine yourself, and
listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
What else are you doing?
Listen to our podcast. What else am I doing? I'm listening to Create Loud by Rachel Robinson.
Oh my god, he just boomed us. And he boomed us. Because
she did our theme song. She did, and it's pretty great. Good. I gotta say, everybody, it's a pretty great theme song. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Theo.
Thank you, Will.
For spending your night.
Find us on Twitter at Segment City. Send us an email. Yep. SegmentCityPodcast@gmail.com.
Text people the boys are back.
Tell them the boys are back. Throw us a comment.
We're off
and
for
review.
A week or two.
The boys are back in town, and we're coming for your horses because you're not out guarding them. You're inside.
Oh,
and we're coming for them.
Yep. So we're gonna steal your horses. We're gonna just, honey, do you hear the horses neighing? And it sounds like somebody's in the barn.
It's those damn boys, the rustlers.
The Boars, those Segment City Boars.
When they said they were back, I didn't think they were back like here back.
They're back. They're back and they're here for our horses again. They do this every time.
Boys, get them out of here.
Oh, and then we're dead. And that's the end of the podcast.
That's it. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye.